leaving through there. Thank you. Let's just pray for Sid. Lord, I thank you for this brother of mine, and that you would just speak through him this morning, and that you would just use him for your glory. We thank you, Father God, for his life, for him and Millie and Zara that's left Cape Town, Father God, to come and serve this part of your vineyard. We honor you and we praise you for their lives, and Lord, that you would speak through him, and that, Lord, prepare our hearts to receive from you the word of God this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Cool, thank you so much. Yeah, welcome to everybody, especially the visitors. I see a lot of the ladies that joined our comm on Wednesday is also here, which is great. So yeah, I want to start off with just a quick story. I felt it, I don't know why, but I felt it, so I'm going to share it. So when I was in grade 10, I was about to fail English. And you wouldn't say that, right? Because I sound quite good, right? Right? But I was about to fail English, and went to my parents and I said, listen, all the excuses, all the complaints, I can't do this. I can't, you know, like, just speak to the teacher, let me pass, and then we'll go on. I don't want to do this. And the one thing that my parents said was, well, you need to sort it out. We're not going to help you. You need to sort it out. There is no alternative. So I sat and I thought about it, and I thought, okay, now, what am I going to do? I don't know. Like, what can I do, you know? So sitting, and then I thought, okay, wait, I'm gonna look at the kids that are doing very well, and then make notes, and then try and figure out, okay, what are they doing that I'm missing? And so I started, like, just in orals and stuff like that, figuring out what are they doing compared to what I'm doing. And then I think I had about 45%, and that went up to 75%. That I actually, so I did quite well, right? For something that I didn't want to do. But the one thing that I felt has impacted me from that is that we need other people. You need other people. And on Wednesday, Ansonay is a machine. A blessing as well. But she, for the last couple of weeks, we've seen a lot of colleagues, etc., coming to community. And this last Wednesday, I heard a beautiful thing that I didn't know. Have you heard of Allied Health Services? Have you heard of that? No. No, so there's some people that don't know what Allied Health Services are, right? Okay, cool. Okay. So it's basically an ally or a support for physicians, right? Did I get that right? Antonay, did I get that right? Okay. So I did a bit of research and I found this short, beautiful little description of the goal of Allied Health Services. It says, the goal of Allied Health Professionals is to collaborate with physicians and other members of the healthcare team to deliver high-quality patient care services. The focus of public health intervention is to prevent rather than treat a disease through surveillance of cases and the promotion of healthy behaviors. The definition of an ally is someone who helps and supports someone else. So does everybody know what Allied Health Services are? That's great. And when I think it was Deneen that mentioned it, studying Allied Health Services, I got hit in my heart, in my chest. Because immediately the Lord started sharing with me about exactly what I'm going to share with you now. And I'm excited to share it because I feel that, yeah, we are allies in the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's coming. He's coming. And we have opportunity now. We're living in a time of grace. And we have opportunity now to partner with him. to be an ally to him. And what that looks like amongst us as saints and believers, we'll dig into. So there isn't, or let me rather say it like this: in Scripture, you see a different word being used compared to, let's say, an ally, which is a stronger word than ally, which I found like that's amazing, you know. And the word is joined. And a good example of that, let me just take a sip of water. And a good example of that is in Matthew 16, verse 9, which I'm not going to read, and Ephesians 5, verse 31. And there's two things in those scriptures, specifically focusing on marriage, is being yoked together, so serving together, working together, having the same goal, mindset. And the second thing is being glued together. So being devoted to one another, being faithful to one another. And this is what it means to be an ally, to join with Jesus for the gospel. Let's quickly go to Numbers 25, verse 1 to 3. Let's just read that. Yes. Okay, I'm going to read it. I'm going to read it there. While Israel was staying in Shittim, yeah, is this the right? Actually, in the New King James, it says Acacia Grove, but okay, let's go with it. While Israel was staying in Shittim, the men began to indulge in sexual immorality with Moabite women, who invited them to the sacrifices to their gods. The people ate and bowed down before these gods. So Israel joined in worshiping the Baal of Peor, and the Lord's anger burned against them. Yeah, that's verse 3. And Baal represents love for ourselves, represents evil, it represents going against God's ways, goes against love, goes against holiness, goes against grace, goes against mercy. In verse 6, or before we go there, you'll see there, so Israel was joined to Baal. So now imagine if we had to expand on that. Basically means to be yoked together with the people that are worshiping Baal. Being glued together, devoted to Baal, and not to God, the living God. So let's go to verse 6. Then an Israelite man brought to his family a Midianite woman right before the eyes of Moses and the whole assembly of Israel while they were weeping at the entrance to the tent of meeting. When Phinehas, son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw this, he left the assembly, took a spear in his hand. Yo, it's actually Olympian as well. The other scriptures is it's a javelin, but okay. And followed the Israelite into the tent. He drove the spear through both of them, through both of them, through the Israelite and into the woman's body. Then the plague against the Israelites was stopped. Verse 9. But those who died in the plague numbered 24,000. So Phinehas was an ally to God for the health of his people. How's that? Yeah. 24,000 of the people that God loves died. So Eleazar comes, and he literally helps the people of God. Let's go to verse 12. Then God blesses Phinehas. Therefore tell him, I am making my covenant of peace with him, which is Phinehas. He and his descendants will have a covenant of a lasting priesthood, because he was zealous for the honor of his God and made atonement for the Israelites. I just want to stop there. Let's just read that again. He and his descendants will have a covenant of a lasting priesthood, because he was zealous for the honor of his God and made atonement for the Israelites. Who does that remind you of? Jesus. So it's like a prophecy, not like, it is a prophecy of what Jesus would do. Jesus is an atonement for our lives. Verse 14. The name of the Israelite who was killed with the Midianite woman was Zimri, son of Salu, the leader of a Simeonite family. And the name of the Midianite woman who was put to death was Cosbi, daughter of Zur, a tribal chief of a Midianite family. And what I just felt from this is that our walk with Jesus is laced with a lot of choices. Every day you're going to have to make a choice and say, like, I'm going to ally with you, Lord. I'm going to ally with you for the sake of the gospel, for the health of his people. And if we read that, that's obviously the negative of being joined to something that is not godly, right? That is not love, but it feels so good. Now imagine, I think this would be a good example. Let's say this little block here is the temple of God during this time of the Israelites. So you have all of the tents, like, around the temple, and you have Moses and Aaron, like, parked in front by the entrance. And you have Zimri taking Cosbi, and from wherever they were, they came right in front of the entrance, not at the back, right in front of the entrance. And they went to the tent and they did what they did. And what I felt like is what they did there was actually just saying, but Lord, you've led us here into the wilderness. We don't want to serve you anymore. We don't want to do what you wanting from us, you know. And it's sometimes maybe a picture of what we are like. Not necessarily as a whole, but maybe in pieces and parts of our hearts. Let's read 1 Corinthians 1 verse 10. Can I quickly blow my nose? Sorry. Everybody still with me? Hallelujah. Okay. Let's read 1 Corinthians 1 verse 10. I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another, so that there may be no divisions among you, and that you may be perfectly united. That perfectly united is perfectly joined. The same thing. Being yoked together, serving together, and being glued one to another. Perfectly united in mind and thought. And there were several issues amongst the people that time. Like, if you can imagine, let's say Vili's com and Seelan's com, and they're like, no, we follow Vili, and we follow Seelan, you know, and whatever you guys do is up to you, and whatever you guys do, it's up to you. But Paul is saying, and he uses strong words. He's like, I'm pleading with you. I'm pleading with you. Let there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. And he's like, I can't force you, But you have to know that if you're joined with Christ, if you join with Christ, you're going to be joined with us, you know. And there's a safety in that. There's a beauty of what the Lord is trying to do, because like I said before, he's coming, and he's coming for us. And so there's work to be done for us as a people. I wanted to share this. I thought it was very interesting. But the name Cosby, the lady, her name means false. And her father's name is Zur, which means rock. They were the false rock. And when we read Matthew 16, verse 15 to 18, it says, Jesus speaks to the disciples. And because he's doing miracles and people are asking him, but who are you? What are you here for? What is your purpose? What are you doing? And then he asked his disciples, but what about you? He asked, who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. And the rock there is Jesus. He is the rock. The revelation that Jesus is the Son of the living God is that rock. And isn't it amazing, like how the scriptures share with us. You had Zimri that relied on this false rock, and maybe in our context, if we say something is our rock, it would be like, let's say my mother is my rock, or my father is my rock, or this is my sense of stability, this is my sense of pride, you know. But all of it is false rocks. There's only one true rock, and it's Jesus. And I want to encourage us with that maybe you feel you can save yourself. Maybe you feel that you have your little group of people that support you and all of that. But I want to encourage us, like, Jesus is the rock, and his church is that support. We're allies. We're allies to you. And you're allies to us. Or to me, sorry. Me, you know, my wife. Me and my wife. So what does it mean to be saved? Just in a summary, it's that we believe that Jesus is the Son of the living God, that he died and he shed his blood for us so that we can live in eternity. He is the atonement. Then there's a second part to that, that God raised him from the dead, that he's living, that he's actively working in us, through us, by his Holy Spirit. And then the third thing is that we serve him with everything that we have. And everything now might be different to everything a year from now, or might be everything compared to a year ago or 2 years ago. But whatever state you are in now, to say, Lord, I want to give you my heart. I want to give you my life. I want to serve. I want to be yoked with my brothers and my sisters. I want to be devoted. I want to be faithful. That is the third part of salvation. And then I would like to end with this. Zechariah 2 verse 11 says, Johan, this is such a beautiful scripture. You know what, the beautiful thing for me about the scripture is you get a sense of the triune God, of the Trinity. And it says, many nations will be joined with the Lord in that day and will become my people. I will live among you, and you will know that the Lord Almighty has sent me to you. So if we had to read that again, say, many nations will be joined with the Lord Jesus in that day and will become my people, me as Father God. And I live and I will live among you. I, the Holy Spirit, will live among you, and you will know that the Lord God Almighty, Jesus, has sent me, Holy Spirit, to you. And so we have Holy Spirit sent to us to help us, you know, to support us to live out this journey and this walk. And I want to encourage us with that, because it's important that we don't grow hard of heart and mind to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, because this is the simplicity of Jesus. I'm going to ask that we just stand, please. And just close our eyes.